Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
Conversion therapy, I said before the break, we're going to talk about it. Just to clarify, it's the practice of curing, quote unquote, gay people by trying to turn them straight through counselling and lifestyle restrictions. And the practice dates back to the early Freudian period when homosexuality was considered pathological and attempts to treat it were deemed appropriate. And today, however, homosexuality has been removed from the Psychiatric Association's list of mental disorders, and conversion therapy is considered ineffective. It's considered harmful and, on occasion, potentially deadly. Regardless of the battle towards the acceptance of same-sex marriage and equal rights for gay people, conversion therapy is still a point in hand, and it's being practiced every single day in the United States and throughout the world. In New York City, one man who went through this process is Chris Hernandez, and he joins us now. Good morning to you, Chris. Nice to have you with us this morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, great. Thank you for taking our call.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Can you hear me perfectly?
Okay, awesome.
Okay, great. Well, let's get down to business and tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from, and where did you go to school, and how was your young life, your teenage life?
Well, I'm from New York. I was raised here for 11 years, and I lived in Charleston, South Carolina for another 11 years. I went to school in a small Christian college in West Palm Beach, Florida. Before that, I went to a bigger university, but I transferred out in order to go to a Christian university. That's exactly perfect.
Thank you, Chris. I suppose I need to get an idea of the nature of your of life at home. Was it particularly religious, or was it morally conservative, or how was it?
I feel like we were, you know, my home life, I guess it's like, it was very, I grew up in somewhat of a Christian home. That's my background. I had a personal relationship with God and Jesus and being a Christian, and we went to church every Sunday. My high school was a conservative Episcopal school, so we had chapel every Wednesday, every Tuesday, and then we had like Bible studies, and we had to take Old Testament, New Testament classes. So growing up, I definitely did have a lot of like religious influence in my life.
Okay, and then alongside that, you had your own story, which was that you were a very young gay man. And what age were you when you were in your heart and head able to say, yes, I am gay?
You know, it's like, I feel like there's, that answer's like twofold. Mm-hmm. I kind of felt like I was gay when I was like coming up in like the third grade, when Will and Grace was like big thing, and like I feel like sometimes when you're a child you have certain feelings and you're looking for someone to connect, and when you see that person like embodied in certain characters on television, you're like, wow, that person has certain temperament or that is like really equivalent to who I am.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, when you grow up when you go through puberty, you're like, oh, now I have these like really sexual feelings. So, around like 13 was when I was just like, oh, I really am sexually attracted to men.
Okay. And how long was it before you were in a position to announce this to your family?
I came out when I was 17. Mm-hmm. I just think, I don't know, I feel like I never really like hid the fact that, you know, I like to do certain things or like to watch certain things. But I'm also big on like not equivocating my sexuality to things I wear or things I watch. You know, sexuality is like what you're attracted to, so you can be masculine or feminine or whatever. But, you know, growing up, I definitely like felt, I always wanted to like to come out earlier, but, you know, opportunity presented itself when I was around 17. I wanted to come out in a newspaper article for my school, so I had to tell my mom. That was one of their like clips about it, like, oh, and you can't come out unless you come out to your family. So I told my mom, and then she told me not to publish. Like, they ended up not publishing the story. but that's around the time I came out.
Okay, and how did your mom greet the news? Was she surprised? Was she shocked? Was she happy? Was she appalled?
Well, first she like wanted to fix all the grammar mistakes I had on my paper, and then after she got through the grammar, she was just like, Oh, so are you just telling me you're gay? My mom grew up in New York, so she grew up in like a time, you know, New York in the 80s, New York in the 90s. She was very like involved with she had a lot of gay friends or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you know, my mom definitely knew that I had my own personal religious beliefs. Mm-hmm. Wanted to make sure that I was okay with everything. So she did ask like if I wanted to go see the pastor about it. And I guess like when you're going through it, you're kind of like, oh, this is not really the response I wanted. You know, you kind of want that overwhelming, like, oh man, I support you like 100%. And it took her some time to really get to that point.
Okay, well, we'll jump a few steps, if I may, Chris, to when you got to the campus there, in college or university in North Carolina, and you were associated with a particular Christian group there, and you were in a position whereby you had to sign a contract that said you would not act against the Bible.
Right.
Now, that was going to be a problem for you.
Yes. This is when I was in Christian University in Florida. Is when I signed the contract.
Florida, you said it, yes. Yeah.
It was definitely an issue, but I was putting myself in a position where I was ready for it. Like I felt a certain amounts of like shame when it came to my sexuality, and still that kind of confusion, and I just really wanted to do what was best for me. So I wanted to put myself in a position where I couldn't act up on anything or else I would have gotten kicked out. It's extensive, you know. It's not only just gay people. Like, you're not allowed to have sex on campus. You're not allowed to do a lot of other things. You're not allowed to dress a certain way on campus, or else they'll give you like certain disciplinary actions or whatever. It was very strict policy, because it was just like it was a Christian school.
So when did conversion therapy become an issue?
When I first started, when I was 19 years old, when I first entered, starting conversion therapy wasn't really that much of an issue, because it's like, okay, yes, I want this or whatnot. So the first year, you know, I met with my therapist and we just discussed like my daily attractions. We would try to figure out ways that to not run into certain people that I was attracted to. We would talk about how I should not have certain relationships with girls because I needed to desexualize my relationship with men. So I needed to hang out with more straight guys and take part in more straight guys. And, you know, I would go camping with the guys. And I would do, like, a lot of, like, straight men things.
Yeah.
Which I always thought was funny how, like, you're supposed to hang out more with men when it's just like, well, if I'm sexually attracted to men, like, this is putting me in a very, like, awkward position.
Yeah.
But, you know, you always had that feeling that you're, like, the odd man out. You're just like, I just feel really weird being here.
Yeah.
It's definitely, like, being a gay person within a Christian college bubble and having to try to act a certain way is kind of comedic looking back on it.
Mm.
When you're going through it, it's like, oh my gosh, I really need to be this way. Like, because when you don't feel like you're not connecting with people in the way that you want it, that you are supposed to, it kind of feels like you're failing at something.
So when they,
like, after a year.
Yeah, I'm just fascinated by the machinations of the process. So they'd make you do man stuff like camping and eat steak and stay away from the guys you fancy. And what else do they do to try and to break you and to cure you of this, clearly this sickness that you were suffering from? I mean, tell me about some more of the pros, because it is quite comical.
No. Because like when I look back on it, like a lot of stuff is just ridiculous. I recently wrote a story about how I quote unquote fell in love with a girl. It's like if you find, and it's just because it's like if you find like, oh, I think I might have attraction to this girl. It's kind of like your sessions start going, so how's this girl doing? Have you tried to go on a date with this girl? You probably should have gone on a date with this girl. They treated my, not only did they try to put me in situations where it was like, oh, try to be more of a masculine, straight guy. He was treating me as if I had like an addiction. My therapist also specialized in addiction therapy. So he would like come in and be like, you're kind of like my other person that I'm seeing who's a heroin addict. And I'd be like, oh, really? So he's basically equating my sexuality to a heroin addict. And then I had to go to, like, AA meetings and different things because I was a sex addict, quote unquote.
Okay.
Which is funny because I rarely have sex now. But now that I'm out of it, like, okay. I it's the last thing on my life.
Yeah, yeah. So what was the upshot of the conversion therapy? I'm gathering from your tone that it didn't really work.
No. it was like, well, going back to like the original idea, the original question when you were like, oh, when did it kind of stopped working around the second year. I went to this conversion therapy for about 3 years. And around the second year, like, you know, you just start, like, I mentioned this when I sent the email out to you. It kind of made me feel like, okay, this is not working, but I've invested too much in this that it has to work. I have a big, like, failure complex. So it's like I had to keep putting myself in it, and I couldn't get out. It's like having a really bad relationship with someone where you know you should leave, but you stay anyway because you are, like, embarrassed or just can't. I don't know, but, so like I had like it one, it's like, it's just, I can't really say when the moment was where it's like, okay, I'm done with this.
Yeah.
Cause I would definitely like, even though I was going through conversion therapy, I would like sneak out and like find people through like sex ads to have, like, I started like doing like really shady sexual behavior rather than like just going to a club and meeting someone or just like having like online relationships, and it always felt darker than what I was actually doing because my therapist is like, why would you do this? So I'd be like, oh, I like messed up this week. This is what I did. I went out and I had sex with someone, and there's a lot of shaming involved within the process of talking about it. And, so it's like, it took a toll. Like I got very suicidal. I got very, I tried to self-harm myself on other occasions. And there just comes a point when that's happening to you where you're like, you know what, God may have not intended me to be gay, but he definitely didn't intend me to end my own life. So yeah. I have to choose something. And I definitely attribute me leaving a conversion therapy to my time being in New York. But there's just something so expressive about the different nightlife personalities that you meet out here. Mm-hmm. That kind of like help you, and they teach you how to be yourself and to embrace who you are in the face of like certain adversities. And it was really refreshing to see that. Because growing up, even though like my parents have been like really have been supportive throughout my life, even though there was like that, it was almost like my sexuality was a silent thing. So like when you're not talking about something, it can be as harmful as someone shaming you into something, because then you have no outlet to express yourself or talk openly about what you're going through when you're growing up and you're growing up sexually. So like after college, I came to New York, and it was almost like this new experience of like, oh wow, now I feel like I'm a teenager again, trying to figure out like what I like sexually or whatnot.
So when you left, then obviously New York is such an exciting place to be. You probably thought, when I'm out of Kansas, I'm in Oz, I might as well enjoy myself here. The conversion therapy days were behind you. How was it? Was your faith compromised? I mean, was that the end of it? Or are you a religious person now, or did you feel that was knocked out of you in the course of those 3 years?
I feel like I need to say, like, you know, my story is just, everyone has a different conversion therapy narrative. You have people who are trans that have gone through conversion therapy, who are, you know, lesbian, bisexual, straight people that their family think that they're gay. And there's different like ways that people have been treated for things. Like I know people that have done shock therapy, whatever. In my own personal and like religion wise, you know, there's non-religious people that go to conversion therapy, as well as like, you know, Jewish people who are Muslim, all different types of faith. So like from my Christian perspective, like I definitely lost a lot of my own personal faith.
Yeah.
I'm going through a lot of like Christian apologetics classes as well on the side. I'm a biblical studies minor. So I was kind of like taught that certain interpretations of the Bible weren't real. So now I'm in a place where I'm still trying to figure out like what I truly believe.
But so you're happy in your skin sexually, but you're uncertain in your skin spiritually.
For sure.
Okay. Well, I hope you find what you're looking for, Chris.
Yeah, me too. No, but I'm doing well. It's not a bad thing. I'm very open to the idea of exploring like who God is outside of certain context, you know.
Yeah. Well, I understand what you're saying. And I reckon that if you're going to find it in any city, you'll find it in New York. That's for sure.
Yes.
So listen, thanks for taking our call. I know it's an early start for you this morning, but we appreciate it greatly. And good luck with everything you do.
Well, thank you for having me. I hope everything was great.
Oh, it was really good to talk to you. And thanks. Take care of yourself.
All right. You too.
Bye for now.
Bye.